Samuel chapter number 18 tonight, and I tell you, I was thinking, as Pastor was talking there a moment ago, about what's happened this past week. I know he mentioned it this morning and again tonight. I haven't been in the pulpit since then. I'm going to mention a little bit of what happened this past week in my message, actually, and it's not because I force it. It's because I believe it's there. But this afternoon, I saw a video. A preacher that I'm friends with, Joe Shakur. Some of you know Pastor Joe Shakur. He shared a video that their church shared this morning in memorial to Charlie Kirk. And I almost sent it to you, Pastor. I thought you might want to show it. But if you haven't seen it and you know who Joe Shakur is, you ought to go see it. What it reminded me of when I saw the video was I was looking over my notes this afternoon and getting my message prepared, and I was looking back at what I had preached a couple weeks ago, and I know we had a missionary guest last Sunday night, but two Sunday nights ago, we were in 1 Samuel 17, and if you'll recall, the message was the power of one. And as I watched that video this afternoon, I thought about the power of one. It really is truly amazing the power that one individual can have, or the difference, the impact that one individual can have when God's with them and when God's using them. And so I was reminded of that. I was thinking, I had just preached on the power of one, and I believe we have seen and are even seeing in as presently right now the power, the impact that one individual can have. And it's not just that one individual, it's any individual that will allow God to use their life, they can have an impact. And so I was reminded of that. Maybe sometime you'll be able to watch that video. It's a short 2-3 minute video. I believe it'll be an encouragement to you. But I want to pick up where we left off in the life of David. And here in chapter number 18, I really want to look at, it kind of goes along with what I just said. I really want to look at a phrase that really stuck out to me this week. And honestly, I believe that I'm going to build a couple messages around this phrase. I don't know that I've ever noticed it before. It's there. It's obvious. It was read in your hearing tonight. You've probably heard messages preached on it. I don't know why I missed it, but I just don't think that it's ever stuck out to me like it did this time. You know, sometimes there's just phrases or there's things in the Bible that you've read over tons of times, hundreds of times, and then there's just that one time that it really sticks out to you. Well, that happened to me this past week, and so I began to think about some things, and I believe I'm going to preach a couple messages on this thought. And this is my message tonight. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Look at verse number 12. It says, and Saul was afraid of David, look at it, because the Lord was with him. Look down in verse number 14, if you would. The Bible says David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And it ends and it says, and the Lord was with him. Look over in verse number 28, if you would, of chapter number 18. The Bible says, it said, and Saul, that phrase is used numerous times in this chapter. And I was thinking, I know the Bible was written, in the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and not English, because the writer would not have said Saul, Saul, if it was written in English originally, right? But it says in verse 28, and Saul saw and knew, look at it, that the Lord was with David. If you'll recall back in chapter number 16, you can turn back there in chapter number 16, in verse number 12, I believe it is, of chapter number 16, maybe it's not. No, it's verse 18. It says, and then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person. And look at what it says. It says, and the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. You know, as I read that phrase this past week, as I said, it just kept kind of sticking out to me. I kept trying to find direction for chapter 18. There's so much there, just like chapter 17. David's life is just full of truth. There's so many angles in which we can approach his life. We can look at so many different subjects and topics here in chapter 18, but I just couldn't get past that phrase that is used three times in chapter 18 and once in chapter 16, and it says that the Lord was with him. When I think of that phrase, I automatically think of Joseph. I don't know why my mind goes to Joseph, but if you've read and studied the life of Joseph, that phrase is used numerous times that the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And I don't know that I'd ever connected it to David, but now I know that from this point going forward, it won't just be Joseph that I think of when I hear that phrase. It will also be David, because the Bible says that the Lord was with him. And so I want to talk to you tonight and probably in the next couple weeks as we look at the life of David, how that the Lord was with him. We've already seen it in our messages leading up to this. We saw it in our first message, how that David was picked. Remember, we look back at how that Saul was rejected and God looked out and he saw a man and God picked David. And he said, I found a man after my own heart. He said, I found a man that's my man, that's gonna do my will. It's not the people's man, it's God's man. And so we see that David was picked. The Lord was with him. And then we saw how that David was prepared. And even in his preparation, in David's preparation, the Lord was with him. Remember, he was prepared as a son of Jesse. He was prepared as a sibling to his brothers, Eliab. Thank you. I struggle with that name, and my family messes with me. I think I was saying Eliab, or I don't know what I was saying, Eliab. Right? He was a sibling. God was preparing him in his home as a sibling, as a son, and as for me, as a father, right? God uses all these things to prepare us, right? My children are as a spouse. There you go. I got another S. God is preparing me as a spouse. He uses my wife to prepare me for life, right? And he uses your wife and your husband to prepare you for life. And so David was being prepared as a son, as a sibling, as a servant. He was being prepared as a shepherd out there in the fields. He was being prepared even as a soldier when he went and he fought Goliath. David was being prepared. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Are you with me tonight? The Lord was with him. David's picking, the Lord was with him. David's preparation, the Lord was with him. David's prosperity, or David's prospering, the Lord was with him. You see, we left off in chapter 17, and David is prospering. When we left David, David is prospering. I mean, he is up and coming. David's life is beginning to prosper. We had talked about how that there was many years from the time that David was anointed king to the time that David went and fought Goliath. And so there was a long period of time where it was just kind of everyday life, and things are just, we talked about that, how that David was just in the everyday details of life, going through life, and God was working in his life even though he didn't see it. But then chapter 17, David goes and he defeats Goliath. And can I tell you, all of a sudden David's life is prospering. I mean, David has defeated the giant Goliath. David is known, and God is beginning to prosper his life, and the Lord was with him in all of this. The Lord was with him. I see his prospering here. I want to point a couple things out to you before I get into the actual point that I want to share tonight. In David's prospering, we see the Lord was with him by the affection. Look at chapter number 18, verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. We're going to come back to Jonathan in a later message, okay? So I'm not just skipping over Jonathan here, but we'll come back to Jonathan. But I want you to see that David was prospering by the affection. Jonathan loved David. The Bible says that he loved him as his own soul. And then in verse number 3, it says, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him. I already read that. He loved him as his own soul. Look at verse number 16. Pastor read this verse. It says, but all Israel and Judah, look at it, loved David because he went out and came in before them. Look at verse number 20, if you would. Verse 20. It says, and Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. Love David. You see that? It says that she loved David. And it says that that was told unto Saul. And so look at verse number 22. It says in verse number 22, it says, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. You see, David had an affection. Everybody loved David, right? Everybody was drawn to David. I mean, David was loved in Israel. All of Judah. All of Israel. Saul's daughter, Jonathan. There was even a time where I think even Saul, he had a love and an admiration for David, an affection for David. You see, God was prospering David. The Lord was with him. And because the Lord was with him, people loved him. There was an affection for David. Now, I'm not saying everybody that people love, the Lord is with them, but I'm talking about David here. I thought about this in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 7. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's David. Like, it's hard not to like him. Like, everybody loves David. Why? Because the Lord is with them. I mean, you got to be a twisted individual, and we'll come to this here in a little bit, but can I say you got to be a twisted individual to not like David? Why wouldn't you like him? There's got to be something wrong for you not to like David at this point in his life. Now, I understand later in David's life, he's going to do some things that may make some people not like him. But at this point in David's life, we have no reason to believe that David has given anyone reason to not like him. The Lord is with him. God is prospering David. And it's shown in the affection that people had for him. People loved David. It's not only shown in the affection, it's shown in the accolades. Look in chapter number 18. Look at verse number 6. It says, and it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets and with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. David is getting the accolades. I mean, people are singing songs about David. They're singing praises to David. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm not saying that this is right. These people ought to be singing praises to God. But they're singing praises to David. And it could be that because they know the Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. Look at verse number 30 of chapter number 18. It says, then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul. Look at this. So that his name was much set by. If you look up that word, it was much set by. You know what it means? It means it was precious. It means that David, everyone knew who David was. The Philistines even knew who David was. Oh, obviously they did. He defeated their giant. But it says that the servants of Saul, in verse number 30, it says the servants of Saul, look at it. It says, and David behaved himself more wise than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. I believe it was by the Philistines, by Israel, by everyone. David's name was something that people knew. Everybody knew who David was. Why? Because the Lord was with him. He was getting the accolades. People were talking about David. They were saying, have you heard about this man David? He's different. Remember in chapter 16, he said, I heard about a man. He's comely. He's good with the harp, and he's a valiant man, and the Lord is with him. You remember, I just read that, chapter 16, I believe it was verse number 18, that servant came to Saul. This is before David defeated Goliath. The word was already getting out before David defeated Goliath that the Lord was with him. He had some accolades. People were talking about David. So we see his affection, we see his accolades, we see his actions. The Lord was with him. He defeated Goliath. The Lord was with him. I mean, look at verse number 5 of chapter number 18. It says, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, look at it, and behaved himself wisely. Look at verse number 14. It says, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. It's like it keeps growing. Look, verse 13 says he behaved himself wisely. You see that? I mean, verse 5. He behaved himself wisely. Then in verse number 14, it says he behaved himself wisely in all his ways. It's like, I just want to put a little more emphasis on it. And then verse 15 says, wherefore Saul saw that David, that he behaved himself, look at it, very wisely. It's like God wanted us to know David is doing the right thing. He behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and then he said very wisely. He was like, I want you to know this man David is doing the right thing. Look at verse number 30. As if it wasn't enough, it's like God just wants us to understand this about David. Verse number 30 says that David, at the end of verse 30, that David behaved himself, look at this, more wisely. So David behaved himself wisely. David behaved himself wisely in all matters. David behaved himself very wisely. And then it says, just to put the cherry on the top, David behaved himself more wisely than all others. Why? Help me out. Why? The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. David had the affection of the people. David had the accolades of Israel. David had the actions to back up all that was going on. He behaved himself wisely. If you look up that phrase, he behaved himself wisely in the Hebrew, it's very closely connected to the word prosperity, prosperously. David's life was prospering. Why? The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Made people love him. It made people respect him. It made people talk about him. David was prospering. God was working in David's life because the Lord was with him. But not only that, one last thing I'll say about this. In all that, it's hard to believe, in all that prosperity that David had, in all that was happening in David's life, not only the affection, not only the accolades, not only his actions, but can I tell you, you even see the Lord is with him in his attitude. Look at verse number 18. It says in verse 18, and David said unto Saul, who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be the son-in-law to the king? Do you see it? That's the attitude of a man that has the Lord with him. In all this, in the accolades, in all the songs that the women were singing, and in all the affection that people were showing, and in all of Israel that loved him, the Philistines respected him, Jonathan loved him, and all that was going on in his life, the Bible says that David said, who am I? What is my father's family in Israel? I mean, who am I to deserve to be the son-in-law to the king? I'm nothing. I'm nobody. He's the one that stood before the giant Goliath, and Goliath said, well, who are you? You come to me like a little boy with a stick. Think I'm a dog? David understood that he wasn't anything without God. David told Saul, I'll tell you who I am. I'm nobody, but I'm coming to you with somebody. I come to you in the name of the Lord, right? David said, I'm not going to win this battle. The battle is the Lord's. And David did not lose sight of that. David had the Lord with him in his attitude. He understood, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I am what I am by the grace of God. You see, God was prospering David. It's obvious the Lord was with him. And can I tell you, I can testify tonight that the most prosperous times in my life are the times in my life when it's obvious the Lord is with me. And I know for you that I'm talking to tonight, the most prosperous times in your life are the times when the Lord is with you. You say, well, the Lord's always with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And that is true. And that's why you're just blessed all the time. But there's just sometimes when we're humble like David was, and we're yielded like David was, and we're walking with God like David was, and God just blesses our lives. He just prospers our lives because he's with us. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel tonight, because we're going to see here in a moment, in the midst of prosperity, there's persecution. In the midst of prosperity, there's problems. But can I tell you, even in the problems, even in the persecution, tell me what it was. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. That's what I want you to get tonight. That's my message tonight. The Lord was with him. That's what I want for my life. If I could be known by something, there was a phrase, and I'm not minimizing that phrase. I'm very thankful. The video that I was talking about ends with that quote where Charlie Kirk was asked, what do you want to be known for? And he said, if I wanted was to be known for one thing, it was my courage for my faith. And I say, amen. Amen. But can I tell you, if I'm known for one thing tonight, I wish I could be known for this thing right here, the Lord is with him. That's the greatest desire of my life tonight, that the Lord is with me. And that ought to be the greatest desire of your life tonight, that the Lord is with you. You know how you're going to be the husband you need to be? The Lord be with you. You know how you're going to be the wife you need to be? The Lord be with you. You know how you're going to be the son or the daughter, the young person that you need to be? The Lord be with you. The employee that you need to be, the Lord be with you. The witness that you need to be, the Lord be with you. The grandparent that you need to be, the Lord be with you. If we're going to be what we need to be, we need to have the Lord be with us. And David had the Lord with him. It says the Lord was with him. And so we see David's prosperity, but right in the midst of all of this, then comes David's persecution. I want to be intentional about what I say here. It's amazing to me how fast things can change. Did we not see that this week? And I'm not preaching. I'm not trying to use what happened this week to preach an emotional message. I'm preaching what I was going to preach no matter what. I'm in chapter 18. We were in chapter 17 last time I preached. I'm just saying it applies. It's amazing how that we can be prospering and life can be going well and God can be blessing. And right in a moment, it can all change. Now, in this situation, it changed dramatically. But even in our situations, I told Pastor Brandon just this past week, I said, it's just amazing sometimes how high you can go and how low you can get. I mean, some of you understand what I'm saying. I'll just be transparent with you. I mean, about a week and a half ago, man, we had a youth retreat. We were out at the camp. We were praying. We had a great time. I had a great time at the youth retreat. I can't speak for the youth, but as for me, I had a great time. God spoke to me. God challenged me. Peyton got saved Sunday. I mean, I was on a spiritual high, but I'll tell you, whew, this week that plane landed. You ever been there? You feel like, man, you're on the mountaintop, boy. You're just flying high. You're living for God. Things are going great. Souls are getting saved. God's working and moving and things are happening. Then all of a sudden, it's like it can all change in a moment. That's what happened to David. David went from being on the mountaintop. David went from defeating the giant. David went from them singing his songs and singing his praises and everybody loving to David to all of a sudden David's being persecuted, and he's going to go on to say, as we'll see in future messages, there's but one step between me and death. David said, I'm running for my life. Lord willing, I believe next time I preach, and it won't be next Sunday. Amen. Can I get an amen on it won't be next Sunday, right? I ain't none of y'all feeling nothing on that, but it's a couple of them in here that are. We'll be on vacation next Sunday. But I'm just telling you, hey, Marcus is getting his hand going over here. He's feeling the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get over here where the Spirit's moving, right? Now, but I don't even know what I'm talking about now. See, good thing about vacation. There goes my carnal mind. I don't even know what I'm preaching now, right? What were we talking about? Who knows? He's thinking about the same thing I'm thinking about. I need to ask somebody else, right? Somebody that's not going on vacation, right? No, Lord willing, I might get into a psalm. That I think took place right after this event where David's being pursued. But David gets persecuted. I'm talking about David goes from prospering to being persecuted, to being pursued. You can say that if you'd like. And I mean, David's life changes quickly, and our lives can change quickly. And I think you say, well, I thought the Lord was with him. Well, 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 12 says this, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, listen to me, shall suffer persecution. That doesn't say may suffer persecution. It says shall suffer persecution. If I'm not ever being persecuted, that concerns me. If nobody's ever coming after me, and I'm not talking about my life, I'm just talking about in general, if I don't have any enemies, and I don't want enemies, and I know you don't want enemies. Pastor just talked about going out and being a friend to this community. But can I tell you, if we live the Christian life in this community, whether we like it or not, we're going to have some enemies. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus said, I got it wrote down here in John 15, 20. He said, if they have persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. This Christian life is not just a bed of roses. I told you, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel tonight. I'm telling you, God will prosper you. If the Lord's with you, he'll prosper you. He's going to bless your life because he's good like that. But it doesn't mean there's not going to be problems. It doesn't mean there won't be persecution. It doesn't mean there won't be somebody pursuing you. David goes from the mountaintop. I'm talking chapter 17. David is on the Mount Everest of his life. But in chapter number 18, 19, 20, 21, David is in the valley. He's being pursued. He's being persecuted. The book of Peter tells us all about persecution for righteousness' sake. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are you when you're persecuted for my name's sake. There's going to be persecution if we live for God. And so I want to look at a couple things that led to David's persecution. I'm going to go through them quickly and I'm going to be done. And I'm going to look at it from Saul's life. I want to show you something I believe that led to the persecution of David. Number one, I see it in this, in Saul's insecurity. In his insecurity, look at chapter number 17, if you would. Look at verse number 56. It says, and the king said, inquire thou whose son this stripling is. And David returned from slaughter of the Philistines. Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Now, there's a lot of different opinions about why Saul asked him this question. Some people believe it's because Saul wanted to know who was going to be tax-free. Because he said, whoever kills the giant's not going to have to pay taxes. Can I get an amen right there? All right. And so I might go fight that giant. Where's he at? Right. Some people think it's that. Some people think it's because he's got to figure out who's getting ready to marry his daughter. They're good, legitimate reasons. I present to you it could be. Saul knew. I'm trying to put myself in Saul's mind here. Saul knew that Samuel said, God's rent the kingdom from you. Samuel told Saul, the kingdom's been rent from you, and God's given it to one better than you. You remember that? We won't go back and look at it. But Samuel the prophet made it very clear to Saul, God has found a man after his own heart, and he is going to take your kingdom from you and give it to him. And I just think there's a possibility that when David come walking up with Goliath's head in his hand, that's what it says right there, that there's a possibility that Saul thought, is he the man? Is that the one? Whose son are you? What tribe are you of? I heard Samuel went down to a city, and I didn't know why he went down there, but he went down to a city and told me he went to offer sacrifice. Where are you from? The Bible doesn't say, but there's a possibility that Saul was starting to wonder, is this the man? Look at chapter number 18. Look at verse number 2. It says, Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. You ever heard about keeping your enemies close? Or keeping your friends closer and your enemies closer? Could be that Saul thought, hey, I'm going to keep my eye on you, boy. You're not going back home. You might be my replacement. And so I believe that Saul was insecure, and his insecurity was the beginning of David's persecution. Look at verse number, if he didn't see it yet, look at verse number 8. It says, after those songs were singing where the women answered in verse 7, and they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. It says, Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s. To me they have ascribed but thousands. And look at what he says. And what can he have more but the kingdom? You think Saul's starting to think? What can he have more but the kingdom? Is he the one? They're singing about him. They're talking about him. Is he going to take my kingdom from me? And I believe that Saul began to get very insecure. See, Saul was a selfish man. He was all about himself. And can I tell you, a lot of selfish people are really insecure. I'm not going to preach a message tonight on insecurity, but I thought about it. I told you there's a lot of angles to approach this series, this section from, and I really thought about preaching a message on insecurity. I think we all have them. Some more than others, but I think we all have some insecurities. But Saul's ate up with it. He's insecure. He's afraid that David's going to take the kingdom, and his insecurity, I believe, leads to envy or to jealousy. Look at verse number 9. It says, and Saul eyed David from that day and forward. He's got his eye on David. Why? Because he's envious of David. He's jealous of David. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6 says, jealousy is as cruel as the grave. One man said this about envy. He said it is a very hell above ground. Are you listening? Some of you young people need to really listen right here. Envy will eat you up. Jealousy will eat you alive. It's a hell above ground, one man's. I don't know who said it, or I'd give him the accolades for it. But I'm just telling you, one man, and I don't know who it was, said it's a very hell above ground. Somebody that's ate up with envy and jealousy, they can't enjoy life because they're so worried about what somebody else has or what somebody else may have. And I believe that's where Saul got. He was so envious of David, he couldn't even stand the thought of him. It's what caused Cain to kill Abel. Envy. It's what Joseph's brethren, why they sold him into slavery. Read Acts chapter 7, verse number 9. Stephen, when he was preaching that message, he said that the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into slavery. They were jealous of him. They couldn't stand that he was dad's favorite, that he had those dreams, and they were envious of him. Can I tell you, it's actually what made the Pharisees deliver Jesus. Matthew chapter 27, you could turn sometime and look at it. Matthew 27, verse 18, Jesus is standing before, Jesus and Pilate are standing before those people, and Pilate says, do you want me to give you Barabbas, or would you like for me to give you Jesus, which is called the Christ? And it says, for envy, they delivered up Jesus. They were envious of him. Those Pharisees couldn't stand that Jesus was getting attention, that Jesus was getting affection, that Jesus was getting the accolades. They couldn't stand the actions that Jesus was doing when he was healing the blind and when he was raising the dead and when he was making the lame to walk and when he was making the deaf and the dumb to speak. They could not stand his actions. They couldn't stand his attitude, how that he was humble, how that he behaved himself more wisely than anyone else, and they were envious of him. And that envy made them persecute him. It's what drove them to deliver him up to Pilate to be crucified. Envy. Jealousy. So Saul was insecure. You see his insecurity. We see his envy. Then it leads to anxiety. Look at verse number 12. It says, and Saul, verse 12 says, was afraid of David. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Look at verse 15. It says, wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Look at verse number 29. It said in Saul, verse 29, and Saul was yet the more afraid of David. So his insecurity led to envy, and his envy led to anxiety. He was afraid of David. He thought, man, this guy's different. He's going to impact. He's going to take the kingdom from me. He may be the one. I think by this time Saul knew. David's the one. He's the one God's chosen to take the kingdom from me. He's got to go. And so he got anxious. There was anxiety. And then last, it led to enmity. Or you could say it like this, hostility. I said enmity because look at verse number 29 again. It says, Saul was yet the more afraid of David. And look at it. It says, and Saul became David's, look at it, enemy continually. His envy led to enmity. He hated David. He became his enemy continually, just more and more. And more, the more good David did, the more Saul hated him. The more affection David got, the more Saul hated him. The more accolades David got, the more Saul hated him. The more actions David did, the more Saul hated him. And it led to enmity, and it led to the point where Saul is going to spend the remainder of his life. Are you listening? I'm done, like 2 minutes. He's going to spend the remainder of his life chasing David like a wild animal trying to kill him. Why? Because he was insecure. Because he was jealous. He was envious. He was anxious. He was afraid of what might happen with this one man named David. And it led him to be hostile. It led him to enmity. It led him to hatred. And can I tell you, hatred, the Bible says, is as murder. And that's what David, that's what Saul had in his heart for David, was hatred. And we're going to begin to look at this phase in David's life over the next couple weeks to come. And I don't think we realize it, but much of this is what we caused what we saw this past week. I couldn't help, as I was preparing this message, I was like, it just fits. A world, listen to me and I'm done. A world that is insecure, that's envious. It's not of us, it's of what we have. It's of the peace that we have. It's of the hope that we have. It's of the power that we have as Christians. It's that the Lord is with us. It makes them envious, and it makes them anxious. They literally get to the point where there's anxiety about these Christians. It's why they got rid of Jesus, or one thought they got rid of Jesus. Because they by envy is what delivered Jesus up. It said it in Matthew. You can look it up. That's what moved. They were moved with envy, and they delivered up Jesus to Pilate. Why? Because they couldn't stand what he was doing, what he represented, the power that he had, and it made them afraid. And that fear, that anxiety, eventually leads to enmity, hostility. It's what makes people hate Christianity. They because they don't want to bring themselves, are you listening to me tonight, brethren? Because they don't want to submit themselves to the God of heaven, and they're afraid to, they began to be at enmity with. The Bible says that a lost world is at enmity with God. And if they're at enmity with God, can I tell you, they're at enmity with God's people, God's representatives. And so we wonder, what happened? What caused all this? I'm convinced that much of it is what I'm telling you tonight. Now, not all of it, but much of it's what I'm telling you tonight. I believe we are seeing a live action example in our society of what was happening to David with Saul. But it happens all the time. We as Christians, if we live for Christ, if we live godly, we will suffer persecution. There will be people that will want to see us go down. Can I tell you, there's people that hate this church. But you know why they hate this church? And it's not because you're a part of it. It's because he's a part of it. They're at enmity with him. And the Bible says about David, the Lord was with him. And if the Lord is with us, there's going to be people that are opposed to us. It's just going to happen. But I got to tell you this, and we'll pick it up next time. Even in the persecution, and you know the story. Many of you have studied it, but we're going to look at it in detail. Even in the persecution, even when Saul was pursuing him, can I tell you, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. And can I tell you, the Lord will be with you. If we'll just stay with him, he's going to stay with us. And so the Lord was with him. I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to be with me. You can stand to your feet. Thank you for your attention tonight. When I ask the pianist to come, I don't want to be persecuted. And now I even feel like I got to qualify what I'm about to say. I'm not even talking about what we saw this past week, okay? That's like the ultimate example. But I'm just talking about in general. I don't want people to hate me. You can begin to play, Emily. I don't want people to hate me. Maybe some of you have got that attitude. You're like, bless God, I hope they hate me. I've met preachers like that. It's like they want people to hate them. I'm serious, man. They thrive on people hating them. I don't like for people to hate you. My wife will tell you, if I got a fault, I'm a people pleaser. I want everybody to like me. But I'll tell you this, more than I want people to like me, I want the Lord to be with me. And if the Lord's with me and people don't like me, it'll be okay. I'd rather the Lord be with me and people not like me than everybody like me but the Lord not be with me. And so I would just challenge you tonight, live your life in a way that it could be said, the Lord's with him. The Lord is with her. By our actions, by our attitude, by the way we live our lives, may people know the Lord is with him. You can bow your heads and close your eyes, and if God spoke to your heart tonight, you feel free to come. The altars are open.